Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your bit delayed Wednesday edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, proudly sponsored by Stardust Spirits and Molecular UK. Just the three of us today because Watson is off on his holidays again, gets more time off than Judith Chalmers, that lad. That might be an age specific joke. So if you don't understand that, you're probably too young. I am Mark Heath, I'm your host, and I'm joined by someone who obviously didn't get the joke because he's shaking his head. Alex Jones, you've no idea who Judith Chalmers is.
No, sorry.
She used to present a program called Holiday. And therefore, she was always on holiday. That was the joke.
Like Stewart's at the moment.
Yeah. I'm so old. What's the point? Why do I even bother? Rossi, have you ever heard of Judith Chalmers?
Somewhat. She's Christ. Old, isn't she? She's old.
What is the point? I'm wasting my time. Might as well just go and walk into the sea. End it all. Friends, that's a good way to start, isn't it? I'm slightly stressed anyway already because my phone broke last night and I've had to make a mad dash into town this morning to get a new one, which means we're recording this late. But yes, friends, we've not been with you for a little while. Obviously, there was no game over the weekend. So I thought before we get into what's going to be the main meat of the show today, mailbag, your questions, which I'm looking forward to, I thought we'd just briefly touch on what has happened since we last spoke. And I guess the most historic, important, interesting thing that's happened since we last spoke involves you, Ross, and your little jolly boys outing to Southampton on Saturday, because the Ipswich Town women's side, the Tractor Girls, made history by playing their first WSL2 game. Obviously huge for the club, huge for the team, huge for the players. But it's fair to say it didn't really go to plan.
Yeah, it was always going to be a tough game. Always going to be the step up. But they lost 4-0, which is not ideal. It was a learning curve for the team. Physicality showed, and it's going to be a bit of a, well, hopefully it'll be a blessing in disguise in terms of like, yeah, this is the step up. We need to work on different things. They've got Nottingham Forest next weekend or this Sunday, who are another newly promoted team. They lost their game 2-1 in the opening game against Newcastle, I think it was. So yeah, that would be sort of the proper start at home. But yeah, it was a test, and they didn't pass it because they got lost 4-0.
Reading the report and the stuff that you and Tom did from the game, it was excellent, by the way. Really good coverage that you boys did. Good for us to be there for that first game. It seemed like something we were kind of saying with Town stepping up to the Premier League last season in terms of like the speed of the game, the physicality, the time you don't get on the ball, all that sort of stuff. Was it noticeable, that step up?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say they played dreadfully, the Ipswich Town women's team, but just even from the first 10 minutes, you just saw the difference. And Southampton has some big girls, like some really tall, strong girls, and that sort of physicality showed from the off. And corners we struggled with. You know, Southampton scored 3 of their goals from corners. And I'm sure that'll be straight away something Joe Sheehan and the team will work on. But yeah, just the pace of the game, the intensity, I think, sort of shows straight away. In the team, there's 6 players making their debuts at that level. So a lot of them have been obviously aiming to get to this, you know, this stage of their careers, you know, playing in the second tier women's football. But, you know, there's a big learning curve for them. And there's a few players playing out of position because of injuries. But yeah, a test for them, but I'm not getting worried because some people go, oh God, that's going to be a tough season ahead. I think it's just first game of the season. Southampton have got good experienced players, a few internationals as well. So, 4-0 is not ideal, but in the second half, they sort of got back into the game a little bit, created a few chances. But yeah, physicality is going to be a key thing this season for them, I think.
Mm. And they play their first home game this weekend, right, at Colchester? Yeah. And who they're playing, you say, Forest?
You're not in Forest, so they got promoted from the Northern Premier Division. So obviously Town are in the Southern Premier Division, so 2 newly promoted teams. And it was only 2 seasons ago where two teams from the different divisions could go up. Before, they used to go into like a playoff, which is ridiculous. You win your title in the Northern and Southern Division, and then you have to then play a playoff to get promoted, which is just ridiculous, really, because you have all that glory, like celebrating with a trophy. Oh, no, we've got now playing a playoff game to see if we can get promoted. And there's a that happened a few times with some teams. I think it was actually Nottingham Forest or another team. They 3 years in a row, they won their league and then lost in the playoffs and then, had the heartbreak of, like, our goal, got to play in the third tier again. So, Colchester United Stadium, first game, home game against Nottingham Forest. Should be a good one. Should be hopefully a good crowd and hopefully some points on the board.
Yeah, some more history then this weekend. So that's 2 o'clock on Sunday, isn't it? So an opportunity to go and cheer them on in the first game at home at that level. AJ, bringing you in now. In terms of news, I'm telling you, we're not going to talk about international stuff because nobody cares. It's so dull. But there has been something that has happened to an Ipswich Town player while he was on international break, which is worthy of note. And that's Sammy Smodics, apparently suffering an injury against, I can't remember who it was against, but in their first game. Hungary, that's right. So he put something on social media basically saying he had to leave the camp early, hopefully not too serious. And obviously you boys will find out a bit more at the presser tomorrow. But that's not ideal, is it? Given that Chappers has just gone out on loan. Now, I know there are other players in the team, obviously Akpom and Egeli and all that sort of people who can play the 10. But Sammy Smodics, A, he's quite injury prone, I guess, because of the style of player he is. He's very much in the thick of everything, isn't it? And B, it's not ideal given the timing.
The injury prone comment's quite interesting, that, because I remember talking to him in pre-season. We did an exclusive interview with him out in Austria and asked him about how hard it's been to be out for half the year with a knock. And he said, it was harder because I don't get injuries. I'm not a player that picks up these knocks. But 2025 has been the year of Sammy Smodics really struggling with these, because he had an injury that he picked up. I think it was the ankle one against Fulham, came back, kind of re-aggravated it again, didn't he? Then came back at the end of the season. Then there was everything that was rumoured with his arm, and there were fears from Ipswich's camp that he might have broken it. And now this, and this is a blow, and it will be a bit of a concern to see how bad it's going to be and how long it will be out for. So we assume that it's happened in the game against Hungary. It was interesting to see actually that he went and did press after that game. He did the media bits after the Hungary game, but then ended up withdrawing from the squad. He played 78 minutes in that game, Ireland coming from 2-0 down to draw it 2-2. So, yeah, it's definitely a concern for the position. It's good that Town have different players that can step into that role. Spoken about Egeli, Chuba Akpom. There'll be others who can come into that. Marcelino Nunez has spoken a bit about playing as number 10.
Yep.
But having just sent Connor Chaplin out on loan in what was a controversial decision, I think, for a lot of people, this now feels like it is a real low blow, especially if it's going to be an extended period. But as he says, fingers crossed it won't be. We'll wait to see what the injury is and what the time frame is.
Yeah, so you boys will find out more tomorrow. It's press conference day tomorrow, which will be an interesting one, won't it? First one post deadline day. And also, you're saying you're going to get to speak to Chuba as well tomorrow, which is
I've put on my wrong side. I put on my Ajax shirt as well. Was not linked, actually, to be honest. Was not tied, but it works well, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Bit of Ajax crossover.
Right then, friends, that's the kind of news since we last spoke. Obviously, we spoke after deadline day. So if you haven't listened to that, go and listen to our views on the whole window and the signings, that kind of thing. The main part of today is going to be international break means one thing, and that's mailbag, friends. We want to hear your questions. We want you to get involved. So obviously, mailbag traditionally has a tune attached to it. Does anyone fancy singing it? Rossi, you're putting your hand up.
No, stretched my finger. I just had to like...
Okay. Mailbag. It's time for Mark, Rossi and AJ to dip into the mailbag. Yes! Not as good as Hutchie, obviously, but we've done it. Right, we've got loads of mailbag questions today on all sorts of social media platforms as well. We've got a lot off Instagram. We've got a lot off Twitter, the traditional spot. And also we've got one off Blue Sky, because we're very cool and relevant, and we're on Blue Sky as well. Right then, Where shall we start? Shall we start with, where is this question? Where was this question?
While you talk about it, I want to caveat this with the fact that, so you sent this in, you sent all the questions in about 15 minutes before we started recording. I was midway through making a coffee. I've seen about three of these questions, so I'm going in blind. This is raw, but this is what I'm saying. This is what you want, isn't it? This is raw and ready. There's no preparation to this. This is just going to be a mess, and I can't wait.
This is just flying by the seat of our pants broadcasting, which is the best type of broadcasting. Right, I'm going to start because I knew there was a question around the Smodics thing, so we might as well start with that. Johnny Q 1987 on Instagram, I'm suspecting he may have been born in 1987, wants to know, AJ, do you think the Smodics injury could either mean a start for Akpom or a system change? System's never going to change, is it? So I guess essentially, is Akpom going to start, you reckon?
Yeah, you've kind of answered the question there, haven't you? Well, Akpom put up for pre-match media, one.
Mm-hmm.
Smodics out injured, lack of natural number 10s. Where does Akpom's minutes come from? We spoke about this a lot in pre-season. Is he going to be a 9? Can he play out wide? Stu kind of said, well, with the lack of right-sided options, does he kind of go out there because he's done that? Well, I mean, this kind of decided now. Everything's kind of forced their hand a little bit, and it's good that in losing a former Golden Boot winner who plays as a number 10, they can replace him with a former Golden Boot winner who plays as a number 10. So, look, there are differences between what Smodics offers and what Tuba Akpom offers. At the same time, it won't be like a formation switch or anything like that, but there will have to be little tweaks in terms of that because Akpom is a proper second striker. He will really just play off Hurst. But they've had a couple of weeks now to work on it. Tuba Akpom hasn't been away on international duty. And I would be very surprised if he wasn't in that slot to play against Sheffield United, unless there's some sort of miracle recovery from Sammy Smodics before them.
I mean, he recovered from potentially having a broken arm to play at the weekend, didn't he? He was at Preston. So he does have recovery powers, I have to see. But I'll be honest, if Akpom does start there, I'd be pretty excited to see that because I thought he looked really lively when he came on against Derby. And as you say, he's got pedigree, hasn't he? So that also answers the same question from Farmer J-Dog, who asks who his replacement number 10. All right, Rossi, you were very impressed with this question. So impressed you put it in the group chat on its own. So I'm going to get you to answer it. Lazza for Life said, would you rather have chocolate fingers or chocolate feet?
That's great. Just a great question. That's what we want to talk about. Sammy Smodics, who's going to replace a number 10? Don't care. Not fussed.
Boring.
It's all about chocolate fingers or chocolate feet. And it's two arguments for this one. Chocolate feet, I don't know. You're just going to, it's going to be mushy, isn't it? And you're just going to, it's going to break. Chocolate fingers, you just want to eat them. You're just going to eat your fingers all the time because they're there. But I'm probably going to go with chocolate fingers because, I think feet, you want to have normal feet to walk on. And, chocolate fingers, you may have a little bite here and there, but, you can have one, keep one hand to the other hand. You can just have a little munch on. So,
I think if you had chocolate feet, heat would be an issue, wouldn't it, all times? If you put socks on them, they'd probably start melting. Whereas I suppose chocolate fingers, you can control the temperature of a little bit better. And as you say, Ross, chocolate to walk on, probably a bit brittle. Whereas again, fingers, you might be able to protect a little bit better. AJ, have you got any thoughts on this, biting, incisive question?
Do they regrow? Like if you take a bite out of your fingers, like, is that it? Are they gone? If you take a bite out of your fingers, are you in like agonizing pain because you've literally just done it? Maybe I'm overthinking this too much. There needs to be more to this. Personally, I'd say fingers, but the answer is this is a question for Jacob Greaves.
Keep that up your sleeve for the next Jacob Greaves presser, AJ. Oh, right then, let's stick with Instagram because it's cool, isn't it? It's cooler than Twitter. Rowan Haslam, which king would make the best influencer? Rossi, I think that's the obvious answer. I'll tell you who would be the worst, and that would be Stuart Watson, because Stuart hates social media. He wouldn't be on social media if he didn't have to be for work, and he moans about having to do it all the time. So he would very much be, although in a way that would always make him quite a good influencer, the kind of anti-influencer, because you could see how much he hated doing it. But the obvious answer clearly is Ross, a man who live streams quite a lot of your life, Rossi. And you also take a lot of kind of pictures of yourself sort of from this angle, don't you? And that kind of thing.
My good side.
Your good side, yeah. Do you agree with that, Ross?
I wouldn't say I like to, not my private life. I don't really go too out there with my private life, but my Ipswich town life and stuff like that and being out there, I'm happy to do that. But yeah, I don't go too in depth. Obviously, everyone can see my spare bedroom, which is just covered with loads of stuff. I've got boots here that I've never worn. Like just
boots.
Boots.
Just free gifts. Free gifts from the sponsor. Yeah.
Pretty much. And then also got like a pillow here, which if I turn it around, it's got a picture of me and Sasha on, but I'm not going to do that for Sasha's sake. But yeah, I like to keep some of my private life private. But yeah, some people know I've got a kitchen that's just been fitted. So
yeah. You would definitely make a good influencer, Ross. Just circling back, you've got a pillow with a picture of you and Sasha on.
Yeah.
Is that so when one of you is away, the other one can just sort of hug it and kiss it? And
yeah. Or it's one of those where it's got like, you have to, yeah, you know what I mean, AJ. I don't know how you explain it.
What are you doing? You're rubbing your hand. What are you doing?
Yeah. When you go on the pillow, AJ, come on. Come in, mate. Come in.
Oh, you know God. So it's like a pillow where it looks like one color or pattern or something. If you move your hand over it, it shows up as something that he's going
to get. Yeah, you're going to have to show it. You're going to have to show it, Ross, because otherwise I don't understand. Oh, you're stroking it now. That's lovely.
Yeah. So,
I see
the picture. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see the picture.
No.
Oh, okay. is it a risque picture on a cushion?
It's not a risque picture. I'll show a picture of me on it.
Oh, look at that. Oh, from your best side.
That's the thumbnail.
Best side. Yeah. That's the thumbnail, yeah.
Oh, that is lovely.
So yeah, I'm just going to leave it up there.
Excellent. A little bit of
insight. Picture me there, look.
Into Rossi's house, yeah. Right then. Let's do a football one, shall we? Nathan Hall wants to know, and this is probably going to be for you, AJ. Hey, Kings, given Jaden and Jack Clark both like to hug the line and Leaf is inverting, should Ben Johnson play left back and invert into centre mid, given he's played there before and he did it well against Bromley? Or is Cameron Humphreys better playing in that role than Leaf Davis? Now, this is a problem, isn't it? Because, Jaden Philogene, I'll be honest, has kind of not really done it for me on the left. And he's being accommodated, which means that Leaf has got to play this inverted role, which hasn't really worked either. So is there any merit there in what Nathan's saying, that, you know, Ben Johnson or even Cam Humphreys?
Is the suggestion then that you take Leaf out of the team voluntarily?
Well, it seems to be, yeah. Should Leaf, Ben Johnson play left back and invert into centre mid? Or is Cam Humphreys better playing that role?
No, is my first point. I think that if you're changing the system to accommodate a player, you're changing it to accommodate Leaf Davis would personally be how I'd do it if it involves taking one of them out. Now, there has been obviously a shift over the summer, as we've spoken about, where the change has been Leaf Davis in this new role where he gets more time on the ball, but it's less kind of swashbuckling attacking play. Ultimately, I'll stick with that. It should be Leaf Davis at left back, and I do personally think that it should be him in this still swashbuckling attacking fun, you know, that kind of role down the left. And you should be asking one of the left-siders to adapt, because ultimately they are players. One's worth 15 million in transfer fee, the other one's worth 20 million. They should be good enough then to be able to go and change their roles in the same way that Davis has tried to go and do that, and I think has done it better than, say, Jack Clark has in adapting to his new role, and Philogene in a slightly different role as well. Yeah, the balance is really, really difficult with that left side. I still think probably the long term for me, based on what I've seen in the last couple of games, it's difficult, and I sway between it so much as well, where I was so impressed with Jaden Philogene against Southampton, thought he was really good. I think I might have picked him as my man of the match in that game. And then the two games after that, thought he was really poor. And you see Jack Clark coming on, and Clark actually, especially against Derby, when he came on, looked much, much better. So, personally, it'll be Jack Clark for me on Friday night. I'm sure we'll come on to that in a bit. But it's really difficult to find that balance. And I'd be prioritising what suits Davis, knowing what he's been able to do in this team and at this level.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've said it before. I think stick Jack Clark on the left. Get him. I mean, he wants to cut inside anyway. That's what he does, isn't it? He gets the ball and cuts inside on his right foot. So I don't see why Leaf then can't go back to bombing down outside of him, if that's what he's going to do. yeah, we definitely need to get Leif Davis back to that sort of role. Dale Ellis wants to know, most of the new signings were revealed to some generic music, lights flashing, cutting to different camera angles in the box, all a bit dull. Nunes was a banger, of course. What do the Kings prefer, elaborate reveal or keep it simple? And does Hutchie get input on the reveals? I don't think I'm breaking protocol too much to say, Dale, that yes, he does. And he does obviously get involved in that kind of stuff. And as far as I'm aware, he was heavily involved with the Nunes one, because I chatted to him about it. I'll leave it there. I won't say any more, but yeah, he does get involved in stuff like that. So Rossi, do you prefer elaborate, all singing, all dancing new player reveals, or would you like them to just keep it simple?
Yeah, there'll be a few people who are in different opinions on this, and I'm probably on the boring side. I really don't care, to be honest. I just want the signing. Just announce it. I don't need all this teasers. Just announce it. Just go boom. Obviously announce it at a reasonable time, nothing too late, as we experience. Yeah. Like I get it's nice, you know, for some fans, I'm sure you see all this like different, you know, music and different effects and stuff. But to be honest with you, just show me a picture of a player holding a shirt or wearing the shirt of Ipswich Town, I'll be happy with, and then we can crack on with the rest of our days. So yeah, bit boring, but like keep it simple, just announce it and then boom.
I think the most important thing you've said there, Ross, is do it at a decent time. No announcements after 6 p.m. ideally. That would be the cutoff. I saw obviously the Forest Nuno got the boot that was announced at 12:15, wasn't it? Can you imagine if that was? I know we've done 11:45 before with the transfer signing, but that was Harness, wasn't it, back in the day? But yeah, 6 p.m. should be the cutoff. MLDR5, who is our old friend Matt Bono, isn't it, on Instagram, wants to know: would you rather travel back in time or travel to the future? My answer to this is quite simple, and that is: I'd be going back in time, baby. I'd be getting all Marty McFly and going back in time, because I love history. I'd love to go back and see some things. So yeah, that would be my answer. How about you, AJ?
I would go back in time and invest in Bitcoin, assuming that this is something Bitcoin, we can do.
Is Bitcoin still a thing? I don't know. Like, is that?
Well, it was. That's the point. And if you can go back in time to 2010, when you could buy like everything for about £10, and you see like the stories of people that did that and were telling everyone else, oh, you know what? You should do this, and then all of a sudden they're multi-billionaires in 2024.
That's a good idea. To be fair,
that's what I'd say. I hate, by the way, I do hate cryptocurrencies and NFTs and all that stupid stuff. But with that, that's what I'd do, because that's the best way to make money.
Yeah, NFTs are nonsense, aren't they? I think they have officially sort of fallen apart now, haven't they? There was a do you remember there was a time where loads of people just buying pictures of like monkeys and stuff like that and making them their avatar on various social media?
Yeah,
I don't think they've aged very well in terms of value. Yeah, that's a good idea. Actually, what you should do is go back in time, AJ, invest in Apple in the sort of mid-90s. Yeah. Go back a bit earlier in time to sort of the early 80s and invest in Nike just before they signed Michael Jordan. That'd be a good idea. You'd be absolutely Keiko Baker.
I'd also go back and I'd put a nice tenner, nothing too much, on Leicester City to win the 2015-16 Premier League title as well.
I'm not sure how ethical that would be, but there we go.
We don't do ethics on the KOA podcast.
Actually. So essentially, the question was, would you go back in time or go in the future? Basically, so you can sort of look at, how mankind has evolved or indeed will evolve. And we've immediately leapt to, how can I make the most money out of this? That's essentially how we've tackled that.
Yeah.
Good. Kevin Hurst wants to know, Rossi, is there merit to the time to gel line, or is it an excuse? And someone, this has been brought up a lot. Think Burnley had 17 new players last season, for example.
Good point. Because, yeah, you do look at other teams who rip up their squad every season, and then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We obviously got a good example of that back in 2021 when we signed 19 summer signings, and it didn't work, did it? Because Paul Cook got sacked. And, of course, Kieran McKenna came in. And he tried his very hardest. But, obviously, in the end, we finished 11th or something like that, or 9th. I don't know. We missed out of the playoffs anyway in League One. This turnaround, it's a bit different. I will admit, I have used the word gel a few times. Because you got to say it, really. It's not an excuse. Yeah. they do need time to gel, because it's been a quick turnaround of obviously games, a lot of signings. That's when you look at, should the transfer window be closed before the season starts? Because then you don't have that excuse of like, okay, they've got time to gel, because, well, you signed them in pre-season. They're up to speed. So I think we just can't use that maybe in November, you know, after maybe the November international break. We now need to see results. We need to see this team doing the business. But at the moment, I don't mind the word gel, but I know there's a few people out there not happy with it, but it's a new squad. And some people go, well, should we have got a new squad? But that's another debate for another time.
Yeah, I know there are people who think that kind of defence is not valid, but I would ask you to consider in any other kind of walk of life, when you have that much turnover, and it's not just been, remember, it's not just been players, it's also been staff as well. It takes time. Like if the three of you left, for example, it would take time before we got back up to what we have already as a team, the way we work and all that kind of stuff. And it's not as simple as just going, well, we spent loads of money, we've got loads of really good players. Yes, they're good players individually, but it takes time for those players to then come together as a team. So I think my personal opinion is, anyone who's kind of saying, well, we can't use gel, that reason to gel, that's nonsense, is wrong. Because in any walk of life, it takes time. When you have new staff, new members of personnel, it's going to take time. Now, as Rossi says, the question is, how long does it take? And how long does that reason/excuse remain valid for? And I think, Ross, you're probably about on the right money there in terms of, you know, November sort of time. The issue with Town, obviously, is they can't afford, in the situation they are now, where they're so highly expected, you know, highly favoured to do well in this league, they can't afford to let teams get too far ahead of them before they gel. That would be my views. Kev, I know, I suspect by the way you phrased your question, you disagree and you think all the players should immediately be brilliant and they should be winning games. But I don't think that's really how life works. Where are we? Tom Baines says, I was watching an SEC football documentary. He means American football, the SEC. That's very good, by the way. That's on Netflix. Very much worth watching. One team had a hype man. Before games, he'd shout stuff like, go get it, and ask if there were any dogs in the house. Perhaps Town need a hype man to turn things up. Who would you pick to take on the job? Keep up the top work. I would say the guy who is on the PA now is good. Is his name Dave?
Dave Vance.
Dave Vance. I think he's really good. He does a really good job. Yeah, much better than our old friend Mark Murphy, I would say, controversially. That would be my take. I like him. But if there was another hype man, though, who would you have, AJ?
You.
Me? Yes. Yeah, actually, to be fair.
This is the first thing. As soon as I heard the word hype man, I feel like I've dubbed you Hype Man Heath before in the past. Yeah. That's mostly when they go into either a derby or at the start of the season and you do your spiel at the end of the podcast and it's like rousing and all that kind of stuff. I feel like, you know, when you get like the hype videos at Portman Road in other stadiums, I feel like you'd do a very good voiceover for one of those.
Correct.
So I'm saying you.
Actually, that is the right answer. Me. Give me a job, Ipswich Town. I'll be your hype man. I'll just do that on Saturdays. Little side hustle. Where should we go now? Let's go with Ricky Kitchen, Rossi. I'm going to ask you this one, which you won't like. With all the changes made and money spent, is the season now promotion or bust? In regards to McKenna and all the new players brought in, how many of them do you think will stick around for two seasons in the Championship? So this is the crux of the matter, given that Town of, it's no longer plucky Town in the Championship, underdogs, battling spirit. God, it'd be amazing if they get into the playoffs. Oh, they've got promoted. How amazing is that? Now it's Ipswich Town, the big dogs, favourites for promotion, millions and millions and millions of pounds spent. They've got to go up. Is that fair? Promotional bust? What do you reckon?
Yeah, to be honest, because the money is spent, McKenna and the team, they've got that pressure on them. And when you get relegated from the Premier League, most teams, you know, in recent years, of course, gone straight back up. So they want to continue that trend. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting if they don't do it. And as you said, the other question about which players could stay around for season two, well, it really depends if they want to stay here and play in the championship again, especially certain players who have, you know, been signed for big money. We already saw Delap and Hutchison leave because they wanted to stay in the Premier League. There'd be some players thinking, well, if we haven't gone up, that means they haven't proven they are one of the best championship players because they've not been able to get this team promoted. So it will be interesting who will stick around, especially, as I said, the ones who have spent big money on, loan players as well. Like Hustay, he probably, I don't mind playing one season championship, but deep down, I want to probably be playing in the Premier League. Azor Matasiwa, he's obviously a great interview with Stu. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Really good exclusive with him. He obviously he's aiming for the Premier League. So, yeah, it will be bust if they don't get promoted because, obviously the money as well. The club would like that Premier League money, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's certainly fair to say there's a lot of pressure on them to be up there this season and definitely in the mix, I would say. SD1985 UK, who I think is my old friend Shane, who invited me to go to the Ipswich Cardinals American football, which I very much enjoyed, Shane. Thank you very much. This is one for you, AJ. If you could supplement the current side with any player living or dead, who would it be? Now, he doesn't say it has to be a town player. So, I mean, any player is quite a lot of people to choose from. So, given your encyclopedic knowledge of football, who would it be? What the town need, I guess you're looking at, isn't it?
You know what? Funnily enough, if you put this into an Ipswich perspective, I think it would be easier because you narrow it down. In which case, I would say a prime David McGoldrick would be the way I'd go about it.
Okay.
Little bit of smoothness, is what I've always kind of associated with him. I mean, to be fair, given how he's playing at the moment, in League Two and in League One, I probably would have him in the team now, to be perfectly honest. Other than that, what is it that Ipswich are kind of missing from this team? I guess it's kind of an X factor. Essentially, what I hope Sindra Vallaghelli is going to be, really. Who would I have in that role? God, that is really difficult. I'm just going to
put just say Messi.
I'm going to go with someone very, very left field, just because I think he's really good, and he's not one of the best in the world or anything like that. But I just think he'd suit the system. Amad Diallo.
Wow,
Manchester United.
That's be not my what pick. I expected.
The X factor. Who would add it? I don't want to do this where you go through
any
and say,
player living or dead. And Luis Suarez.
Well, okay, or dead. So then we're going. I'll take a bit of Johan Cruyff, please. Would be the way I go about that.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
We happy with that one? That would be the way. Johan Cruyff is my answer.
Yeah, Johan Cruyff would be a good player. He had a decent turn on him, didn't he? So I recall. I would take. Kevin Beattie, that is the obvious answer for me from a town. He would be, I mean, Beattie was a freak athlete. He would be amazing in any era, in any team, and he would play in the championship, he'd dominate, and in the Premier League he'd be amazing as well. So I'd put Kevin Beattie in. Ross, have you got anyone you'd like to throw into the mix?
Kieran McKenna likes Irish players, so Matty Holland as the captain again.
Okay.
So he just basically just sign all the Irish players, although Tamworth Island did have a good game last night from comments, so yeah, not good. But anyway,
did you see I mean, we haven't mentioned the interview with Matt Holland and McKenna and Ashton, but did you see when Holland asked about O'Shea replacing Morsy, and McKenna said, well, obviously he's replacing the best midfield captain Ipswich Town have ever had to Matt Holland. Oh, how they laughed. It was good stuff. That was a good watch, by the way. Although I do wish it'd be Independent they would do that stuff with, but I know that obviously they're not going to do that because that would involve them being asked some more difficult questions rather than some P-rollers. Tractor Boy Portugal wants to know, shout out to any ITFC fans who live on the Algarve in Portugal. Got it there in the end, please, guys. For the life of me, I can't find people here and would love a little fan group to watch matches with. So if you live in the Algarve, which is a beautiful place, one of my favourite places, actually, Lagos is where we go quite a lot, Tractor Boy Portugal. Get in touch with him on Twitter. He is Tractor Boy Portugal on X, as it is now. Where should we go? Assuming any more questions we have. There's one up here. I suppose it's all around the same kind of theme. AJ, this is from Andy Mook, ITFC, on Blue Sky, because we're on Blue Sky, because we're young and cool and relevant.
We are.
Oh, easy, fella. You calm down. Shots fired.
The doctor. No, I was saying we are on Blue Sky.
Oh, see, I thought that was a little dig at your aged boss.
No. I was trying to say, we are on Blue Sky. Oh, okay. Watson is not on Blue Sky.
No, Watson's not on Blue
Sky. You don't have to think that everything is a dig at your age.
What are we talking about? I'm not sensitive. What? Anyway, great to see you back, he says. I don't know why he says see you back, because we've always been around. The big question, if things don't turn around soon, however long that is, how strong is the patience of the owners? The model that the likes of Forest use appears to have paid dividends, manager turnover and breaking finance rules, etc., as they are still in the Prem and in Europe. Now, obviously, that would be a nightmare scenario. Thoughts for Omari Hutchinson on that front, by the way, given mm-hmm. that they basically had a fallout over signings, didn't they? And it sounds like he was one of the ones, so I don't know how much he's going to play. But yeah, patience of owners. We when they took over the Americans, AJ, they said, we're not patient people. And they showed that quite quickly, because they got rid of Cook in the start of December, it was, after that Demolition Man summer. Now, you'd imagine that the current setup has got quite a lot of credit in the bank, but clearly patience is not infinite.
No, patience is not infinite. Patience, in my eyes, lasts through this entire season. For starters, is the first thing to say. Money is a big factor in this for anyone that runs a football club. And as a team that got promoted to the Premier League and relegated in their first season, Ipswich had parachute payments, but Ipswich had parachute payments that last for two seasons. So they get a payment when they got relegated this summer. They'll get another one next summer as well. Now, some clubs that come down, if they've been in the Premier League for more than a season, will get a third payment on top of that. Ipswich do not. So this kind of goes back to the promotional bust thing. Is it for that of this season? I don't think so, personally. I think this is, of course, it's a team and a club that wants to get promoted back to the Premier League this season. I think it's a project that's aimed at doing it within two seasons is the biggest thing. I think that there are players who have bought into the fact that they're going to be at this club for an extended period, and the extended period, I mean, a couple of years. I think the manager's bought into that, and I think those at ownership level are as well, and there will be an expectation to perform well and challenge for promotion this season. Unless it's an absolute catastrophe, I don't think that patience is going to run thin, unless we're talking about a Luton situation, which I still don't think will happen. I'm not really concerned about that at this stage. I still think it will be a much longer term thing, unless there's some real shambles going on in the next kind of 6 months or so.
I'd agree with you. I can't see it, you know, as you say, there's a lot of credit in the bank. Unless it completely explodes and goes to pieces, I can't see there being an issue this season. Right, final question from Instagram. Craig Henry wants to know, any news on KO Live 3? Yes, Craig. We're looking at one in December, towards the end of December. A few things need to fall into place and all that kind of stuff. So I can't actually 100% confirm that at the moment, but we are looking at doing another one as a sort of Christmas party in December. So keep an eye out for details of that. And the question I want to finish on, because I think it's my favorite question, because it's just my basically me as a person, is from Reese Curtis. Wants to know, what are the Kings' dream lineup for pints on draft in a pub? Yes, Reese, you're talking my language. He says mine would be Amstel, Peroni, Madri and Moretti. So Reese loves a lager. And I also love a lager. Rossi, I think other than me, you're probably the one who spends most of your time in pubs drinking. What would your dream lineup be?
So how many are we going to have? Should we have three, four? You've done four.
I'd say there's normally five on tap, isn't there? So you can have five.
Yeah. Whoa, bloody hell. Plenty. I'll start with a Guinness, I think.
Yeah.
Every time I drink a Guinness, I think of my granddad. Shout out to Russell. No, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, every time I drink one, I just think of him. So Guinness, got to have an Italian beer, and I probably go with a Peroni, just solid. Then I'll probably go with acai. I do like an acai.
Acai, yeah.
Acai, sorry, yeah. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Then do I go? Nah, I'm just gonna keep with lagers. I'm just, you know, I just keep with lagers. then I'm probably going to go with a Czech beer that I've been drinking recently, but I can't pronounce it. But it's given with S.
Staropramen.
That's the one. Yeah, I really like that. That's actually in Isaac's in Ipswich, which is just crazy.
You get that in that little sort of jug thing, don't you? Like a bit of a tankard. Yeah.
Which is nice. So that's four. And then I'm going to go with a Portuguese beer. I think it's Portuguese. I'm going to go with Suterbop because, although that's more in a... I don't think you actually get it in like a draft thing, do you? You get it more in a...
You can get it in a draft, obviously, if you're in Portugal.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I love a Suterbock because I still remember back in 2018 in the World Cup, I went to a Portuguese caf on Norwich Road in Ipswich, and when England played Colombia and they won on penalties, and I was with some Colombian fans and we were just drinking Suterbock, which is like £2, which was just mad to think you're selling Suterbock for £2 in
points.
Yeah. So it's just, what is going on? Like, luckily, they're still a cafe, but I was just like, this is bad business. You know, you need to bring that price a little bit up. But so that's my five. Suterbock, Peroni, Asahi, the Czech one. Oh, God. Guinness.
Yeah.
That's it. That's five. Seven,
okay. Five. Yeah. I'm going to go on, AJ. You give me your five, and then I'll finish with my five.
Honourable mention, Staropramen, went to the brewery tour in Prague. Really cool. And I'll also throw Singer in there as an honourable mention. But my five that I'm going to have are Heineken. I always love a Heineken. Easy. You know what you're getting. Peroni, if you want to splash out.
Heineken.
I'm taking Heineken in this.
That's filth.
No, absolutely. Also, someone who spends a lot of time in the Netherlands. Absolutely. But, all over Heineken.
I can't get on Heineken. Yeah.
Nonsense. Let's the listeners decide.
Yeah.
Heineken, Peroni. I'm also going with Asahi. Debated this because it's more readily available now and it doesn't feel as niche and exciting, but I'll take Cruzcampo. And I'll also, and it's very, very modern, very woke now, but I do like a neck oil, so I'm going to have one of those on the taps.
Okay. Heineken, very controversial. I mean, that's one for me. That's one step away from Carling.
The best one. When I was at university, they used to do Heineken. They only did it for Heineken, but they'd get like those kind of like frosted ice kind of glasses.
Okay,
and they'd put Heineken into those. Brilliant, loved it. My go to there for that reason. But yeah, that I'm sticking with it.
All right, it's your taps, mate. I'm just saying it sounds rank. Yeah. My five would be Guinness. I think that's a good one. You need that option because Guinness is really easy to drink, and if you're boring like me, it's also lower calorie than other pints you can have. I'd also have on there something again a bit different. I'd have an Aspall cider, sunny day, lovely stuff. Then I'd definitely go Peroni. I think Peroni would be the universal choice. I'd have Corona on there as well. But only if it was served in the proper Corona glasses with a little bit of lime on the side. That's lovely. And then for a kind of left field choice, just to be different, I'd have Veltins, which I've had a lot of nice pints of in the past on my travels across Europe. And again, in places you can get that frozen glass, AJ. They serve you Veltins in a frozen glass, and that instantly makes everything better. Honourable mention, I would say, to Sagres, which is another Portuguese beer. Asahi. Definitely. I think that would be it. What I definitely wouldn't have, and I'm definitely not up for, is any kind of real ale. Anything that's called like Vicar's Underpants or Fusty Bogwater is not something that I want to put in my mouth because I'm not 75 years old. Give me lager generally. There we go. That's a great question anyway, Reese. That's the question of the day. And there's our answers. And we've disagreed about Heineken because it's filth. Friends. What isn't filth is Ipswich Town coming back into action this weekend on Friday night, actually. Friday night football. And it's a B-I-G. It's a big one, AJ. How can we're kind of talking about this the other day. When Sky picked this for TV, I'm fairly sure they would have expected it to be sort of two unbeaten sides right at the top of the league. Instead, what they've got is one side who's lost all of their games, and another side, you've only got 3 points and are also winless. But in a way, AJ, sort of makes it bigger, doesn't it?
It does, and I feel like Sky will probably put this up as El Sacico, even though I'm going to be honest, yeah. with Ipswich Town, or even to lose this 5-0, God forbid, I don't think Kieran McKenna would be sacked. But I feel like that's going to be the big narrative, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on. And there's going to be huge expectations that go both ways, because I've already seen a lot of comments from Sheffield United fans that said, if we don't win this game, then Ruben Sayers should be sacked. And there's going to be a lot of Ipswich fans, I think, that will see it as this is a team that have lost all five of their competitive games so far this season. It's a must win. We can't lose or even draw against the team that have only lost their competitive matches so far this campaign. So essentially, you've got two teams that are underperforming at this point, let's be honest, and are going to go in with quite high expectations. And what that means is that one or possibly both of them are going to come away disappointed from it. So really big stakes on that, and especially with maybe one or two futures, probably Bramall Lane, you'd have to say.
Yeah, Sayers is already kind of talking about his future, isn't he? And, you know, after four games, remember, because clearly, you know, from what I've read, I don't think Blades fans were that enamoured with Chris Wilder being fired again. Rossi, how are you feeling about this one? It's obviously a big game. It was always going to be a big game, but the fact that both sides are kind of struggling adds more intrigue, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And Sheffield United, obviously, they've been busy this summer. They've signed a lot of players. Thankfully, Ogbeni won't be able to play because of a loan rule and all that jazz. But they've, of course, got a few former Town players in their ranks. Ben Godfrey returned to Porton Road. Did he have a great loan spell? Did he?
No, he did not.
Louis Barry, another one who sort of struggled when he was here briefly. Mark McGuinness as well. So just the returning loanees. But they've got some good players and who, you know, will step up at some stage in this season. They are going to be, I think Sheffield United will be fine, maybe when they get rid of their manager and get someone else in. But I know Sheffield United fans, when I spoke to a few, they're not having Ruben already. So I think they say if they lose this game, but they play well, then he may be fine. But if they play dreadfully and obviously lose, then he's gone. But I think even if they lose, I think he may keep the job, but they need to play better because apparently they've not been playing good at all. Because you think Bristol City, they beat them 6-0 over two legs. And on the opening day of the season, they lost 4-1 at Bristol City. Mm. So it's just how that changed, because obviously Chris Wilder got the sack, which was just bonkers when you see that. But
yeah,
you know, ownership, sometimes they want to change a play and stuff. But yeah, they've got some players. I know AJ's a big fan of a few of their players as well. So yeah, this will be a test. And Portland Road, obviously, our factor. We still haven't bloody won, have we?
Mm. It links in with, I've just seen, kind of linked to what we were saying about the Sky narrative. I've just opened up Sky, and the article they've put out is, can, inverted commas, underwhelming Ipswich, or inverted commas, disastrous Sheffield United get their season started on Friday night, which does feel like it sums it up. And with the Sheffield United side of things as well, so what they've had over the summer is they've had a new ownership that have come in, and they're very data-driven. And that was part of the reason why Chris Wilder, who got 90 points, it was 92, should have been 92, because they had a points deduction last season. He's not very data-driven. He's a proper football bloke. It's the best way to put it.
Old school. Yeah.
He's an old school manager. So they've sacked their 90-point manager in favour of a data-driven, I think it's partially AI-driven in some of the recruitment things they've been doing. And they've got a manager who's on board with that and on board with the way they approach signings and tactics and things like that. And in such a drastic shift, I think that's going to take time. But as a team that spent that amount of money, you don't get that time. So I think they're kind of in a position where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And that's going to put a hell of a lot of pressure on them when you've got players like Gustavo Hamer, Callum O'Hare, Louis Barry and the way he's been playing, Tyrese Campbell, Harrison Burrows, Tanganga is signed from Millwall. There's a lot of quality in that squad.
Yeah, Hamer's top-notch, isn't he? Who plays for Town then, AJ? Let's try and think about that, because we know... obviously, we know, well, we don't know, but Smolik's injured. Whether or not he'll be able to play, we don't know. There's not anyone else? Is there Harry Clark, Wes Burns? I don't think there's anyone else. So, in terms
no other,
of injuries that we're aware of, before you speak to Kieran tomorrow. How would you set things up?
Yeah, I hope Stu will be doing a piece actually on this. I assume we're trying to keep it up, the weekly lineup predictions, but we'll talk through mine. Palmer and goal, because obviously the centre backs and left backs, I think, unless anything drastic happens, will stay the same. So Davis, Greaves, O'Shea. Right back's an interesting one. I think Ashley Young's been quite good over the minutes that I've seen, despite a few bits of kind of sloppy passes that have been kind of capitalised on. But for me, I think it's time for Darnell Furlong. They've spent a bit of money on him. They've given him the international break, and hopefully he should be up to speed. I think they've signed him to start. Matasiwa and Kayusta, 100% for me. I thought they were exceptional against Derby, so they get the start. Casey McAteer on the right, because Sindra Vallet-Igeli has signed and then just gone off on international duty, so he's had no minutes at all to train with the squad. So McAteer will come in, I think, fresh from his international duty, but a little bit more gelled in what to expect at Ipswich. So he'll start on the right, I think. Funny thing that the last player to start as a 10 for Ipswich was Connor Chapman, who will be playing against Southampton for Portsmouth this weekend. Really weird thought. So Tube Rackbomb, I think, is the logical one, as we've discussed. Hurst up front, and then maybe a question mark on the left side. I was pretty disillusioned with Jaden Philogene against Derby County. Didn't think it worked at all. So Jack Clark gets that slot for me.
I'd agree with you. It would be nice to see Sindre Wallet. I love the way you say that, by the way, AJ. Sindre Wallet-Igeli. Say it again.
Sindre Wallet-Igeli.
Oh, lovely stuff.
That's what you wanted to say. He does need some minutes. That'd be so good. And I know we're not going to talk about the international break, but have you seen the clips of him playing?
He absolutely tore it up last night, didn't he? Didn't he get goals, assists all over? Yeah.
He forced an own goal, cutting inside onto the left from his from the right flank and kind of forcing it in with a really powerful cross off a defender. Then he gets the ball from deep. It's kind of in the middle. He turns past the midfielder and just plays this sumptuous through ball down for his teammate to score. And then the goal, which I should have seen as well, where he kind of picks it up in this slightly awkward angle onto his kind of centre left. He picks it up onto his right and then shifts it onto his left, which is awkward, especially when you're hitting it kind of inside of the boot. And he just curls it with such bend and finesse that it bounces in off the post. And the goalkeeper has absolutely no chance, bounces in. The way that he moves, the physicality, the eye for a pass, the goal scoring kind of streak that he's got about him. Look, this is under 21s football against Denmark. It's a bit different to playing in the championship, but it's difficult not to get ahead of yourself with him.
Yeah, I'd agree. I want to see Akpom start. I want to see Jack Clark on the left. I want to see Igeli for at least half an hour, ideally. Off the bench, just so we can see what we've got. Rossi, I know you don't care about who plays, so I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to ask you for a prediction, though. So you kick us off with the predictions. I don't know where we are with the predictions league. I assume you're keeping record of that.
Yeah, obviously we didn't get a single point.
We were all wrong about Derby, weren't we?
We were indeed. So currently, as it stands, pretty bring it up because I am top. So by 4 points, AJ and you are joint second with 3 points. Stu has 2 points.
What a joke. Chief football writer, shambles. Can't even predict anything. What's your prediction then, Rossi? Table topper?
Oh, I'm trying to have a little look because I think I predicted a win in every game so far.
Have you?
I did draw. I did the Southampton game as a draw.
Okay.
That's how I got my
points. Ah, because you got that exactly right, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, do I play easy and go for a draw? Or do I go, come on, boys, back from international break, Norwegian wonder kid comes off the bench and scores a goal. Do you know what? I'm going to predict a win. I'm going to keep that positivity train going. I want to go 2-0, clean sheet.
2-0?
Dunel.
Yeah. Excellent. And who's going to score first?
First goal scorer will be not Sonny Smodics, because he may be injured for a bit. We'll find out more, I'm sure, with Kieran McCann's press conference. I'm just having a little look. So I've gone with Sammy Smodics for pretty much every game. But then I went Chaplin for the Preston game. Who do I go? Do I go left field? Yeah, do you know what? Left field, why not? Azor Matasiwa.
Wow. Not? That would be a surprise. If you get 2-0 and Azor correct, I'll give you the money myself, as they used to say on Family Fortunes. Again, you probably don't know what Family Fortunes is either, do you? You do know what it is. Good. AJ, what are you saying?
Well, I predicted the next five games. And you can read what I've predicted, but I will give you an insight to what I predicted for Friday's game as well. And you'll have to subscribe to go read the rest. Predictions up until the Norwich game at the start of next month, just before the October international break. I have predicted the Norwich game as well, which is an
incentive. I can't believe you predicted a defeat, mate. Unbelievable.
3-0.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, moving on. Not my prediction, by the way, before I start getting like abuse on social media. Yeah. With this one, so I've gone with a 1-1 draw. I think that essentially it balances out with two teams. I think it's going to improve over the international break with having players there and working with them. I also just think that Sheffield United is just going to be a better team because they've got loads of signings. They made some on deadline day. They've had a fortnight to bed them in and get them up to Ruben Sayers football, which is different to what Ipswich have played against in the last few weeks. I think it will suit Ipswich more because it's going to be more kind of a football match rather than what we've seen against Derby and against Preston, where it's physical, aggressive, not a lot of ball in play time. Sheffield United are going to want to play. But with that, they also are going to be a good team. So I think that will cancel out into a 1-1 draw, which I don't think will be overly popular, to be honest, if that's the full-time score. First goal scorer, I was also going to go left field because I want someone who I know is going to start, but I'm not going to do that because Ross has done it. So it makes sense in my head. Who's going to have the motivation and the burning desire to score against Sheffield United? It's former Sheffield Wednesday boy, George Hurst, who came through their academy. I think had a few first team minutes, left in slightly controversial circumstances, but he's been brought up to hate Sheffield United and he's going to score against Sheffield United at Portman Road on Friday night in a 1-1 draw.
Excellent.
Hopefully not a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, hopefully not a 1-1 draw. I've got a meeting in 7 minutes, so I'm going to wrap this up quickly. I'm going to say 2-1 Town. I'm going to say Tuba Akpom to score because that would be lovely. And a win, obviously, would be great, getting that Portman Road curse off and all that kind of stuff. And also, I think Tuba Akpom might be quite an important player this season. Right then, friends, just to remind support our sponsors, use the code KOA at stardustspirits.co.uk for 20% off all the excellent alcoholic beverages there. Go in the team. Doing some really good work and a local company, good to support them. And speaking of local company, our new sponsor, Molecular UK, as you know, they manufacture cleaning products for the automotive, agricultural and commercial industries. They're a family-run business that have been in operation for more than 40 years and manufacture products to the highest possible standards. We have a code, KOA10, which gets you 10% off everything if you enter that at the coupon section at the point of checkout. And the website is www.molecular-uk.com. So go and fill your boots on both of those sponsors. The boss is still trying to say it. Yeah, you'll get there one day. Boys, anything else to mention? Bear in mind that I've got 6 minutes now before my meeting. So if you do have anything, keep it brief, please.
Nothing else to mention.
No other business, my friend.
This just in, late question for mailbag from someone called Mario Tirico 563 on YouTube. It says, how Mark Heath doesn't have his own show on national television is beyond me. Question. Am I the only one who can see a broadcasting genius?
Wow. Thanks, man.
Was that a mail? Was that a mailbag question?
Yeah. No, he sent that in. Yeah, he did. He just sent that to me.
Oh, did
he? It's important because I think
that was a mailbag question.
He raises a good point. It's a wider issue, isn't it? Why am I not on national TV? Am I a broadcasting genius? I think the answer to both fairly obvious. Anyway, friends, if you go to the game on Friday, enjoy it. Follow it all with the boys if you can't be there. And then we'll be back next week. I won't be back because I'm off to sunny Spain to eat pinchos in San Sebastian. And if you have any recommendations for good places to eat pinchos in San Sebastian, let me know. Have a great weekend, friends. Enjoy the game. Let's hope for a win. And the boys will be back next week. Whatever happens. Up the town.